Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy any investment based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hello and welcome to the Midweek Takeaway. Today we're joined by Peter Krugel, CEO of Mast Energy Developments. Welcome back, Peter. Hope you're well.
Morning, Paul. I'm very well, thank you.
Good.
I hope the same on your side.
Yeah, absolutely. So we just saw the announcement of some impressive results and updates regarding your flagship asset, the Pybridge Synchronous Gas-Powered Flexible Generation Facility. Firstly, the Pybridge site has achieved an unprecedented historic record in the recent capacity market auction results, with its T4 bid clearing an astonishing price of £63 kilowatt per annum. This marks a massive 750% uplift in income compared to its previous T4 capacity market contract, £8 per kilowatt per hour. In addition, Pybridge is successful in pre-qualifying for a T1 CM contract, which will further enhance its revenue significantly, with a revenue value of approximately £308,000 per annum. Tell us more on this, Peter.
Yes, that's absolutely correct. Thank you, Paul. So we looked at the Pybridge site and the revenue profile. Apart from our PPA with Statkraft and what's coming out of there, which we've optimized and enhanced, and we're happy with that. We looked at the capacity market, which is over and above and on top of our PPA revenue stream. That's essentially a government incentive where the government comes to the market and to generate, to say that, you know, looking forward, we think that we've got this amount of capacity required in order to avoid blackouts and things like that. And we're going to contract you to have a certain amount of capacity available. And we're going to pay you a certain tariff per kilowatt per annum. And more likely than not, the government never actually calls on that capacity to be generated. We just have to have that capacity available. So to a very large extent, our capacity market contract revenue, it's the tall strike. It's a pure profit for us. So we looked at Pybridge and we saw that it had all very low value capacity market contracts. So we took a strategic decision to forgo that contract and go into the 2022-2023 capacity market auctions for both the T1 and a T4 contract. We were successful in pre-qualification as well as in our bids. And as you said, we cleared the £60 per kilowatt per annum on our T1 contract and a record high price on our T4 at £63 per kilowatt. And I think it's important to note that not only is our new T4 contract almost 8 times higher than our pre-existing contract of £8, it's also in the history of the capacity market. It's an unprecedented record level, which shows the government's commitment to the capacity market and specifically gas peakers, which we are very pleased with.
Yeah. So I mean, just for listeners who maybe don't really know what the capacity markets are, but I believe that they're a unique market that awards fixed monthly payments to these power plants. And these payments are awarded through these yearly capacity auctions, which are held in two rounds. You've got the T4 auction for 4 years ahead and then a T1 auction for the upcoming year. And they're generally oversubscribed, obviously making it a seller's market in your case. And they're conducted in reverse with the price dropping each round until enough capacity to meet the target remains. And they were set up, I think, in 2011 to address fears of a capacity gap with both single-year and long-term agreements available for existing and new refurbished capacity. So the long-term agreements, and this is important, provide a fixed income base for 15 years, which can bring down the cost of capital for new projects. Does that sum up really where we are with those capital markets?
Yes, absolutely, Phil. That's 100% correct. And that's why it's important for us to secure these capacity contracts. As I said, it's over and above our PPA revenue. So it's a nice enhancement of our revenue profile for each site. And in this specific case for Pybridge, as I said, it very, very rarely comes with associated generation. So to a really large extent, that revenue is a pure profit for us. And as you said, a very important point is these prices are determined by supply and demand. And the fact that the T4 cleared at such a record high price shows that there's a very big gap between supply and demand. There's a much bigger demand than there is supply. That's how the price is always determined, which I think is also in our favor to show that there's significant demand in the market and there's still a gap for supply. So we feel that supply side of things, and we're very optimistic about the future of this market.
So, Peter, The supply curve obviously is looking very strong in terms of it. The demand for it is going to be very high in the future, hence the T4 prices. So how long does that contract last if you maintain the contract, the T4?
The T4 is a 15-year contract, typically, and the T1 is a one-year contract. So I would usually work that we fill the gap, so to speak, you know, for the 4 years until the T4 delivery year starts with the T1 contract. So we've secured a T1 now for the ensuing year, and we'll do so again in the year thereafter, et cetera, et cetera. So they don't run concurrently. For the moment the T4 kicks in, you know, your T4, your T1 falls to the wayside. So the T1 is there to, you know, fill the gap until you get to the T4.
And what are the requirements of these contracts? What do you have to be doing or available to achieve these payments?
Very good question, Kevin. It's quite a comprehensive process, and it's, you have to tick quite a few boxes. You have to, in the case of Firebridge, which is already producing sites, you have to show the basics, you know, that you've got planning consent, you've got a grid connection, gas connection, that you've already generated the capacity that you are applying for, you know, because it's a pre-existing site. So you have to, they call it satisfactory performance days, or SPD for short. You have to have already proved to the delivery body that you've already generated that capacity and that you're able to do so. And I think most importantly, and this is becoming a very big focus on the market, is emissions. Is you have to prove that your site generates below a certain emission threshold in order to comply with carbon tax regulations, etc. And we've done all of that. So that was all part of the pre-qualification period.
Okay, so this money that you receive really isn't part of you stepping in and putting a great deal of electricity into the grid. So this is on top of, or underneath probably, the money that you will make as supplier of the electricity to the grid.
Yes, that's 100% correct. So as I said, you know, the capacity market contract really requires you to be on standby to generate the capacity if the government calls on it, but they very rarely do. It's really only in the case of a blackout emergency, then that call on capacity to be generated. So to a very large extent, you know, our capacity market contracts do not come with any associated generation or cost. So it's to a very large extent a pure profit for us. And if we have to generate, obviously we'll do so. But yes, it's over and above our PPA revenue with Stockbridge.
And in terms of Pybridge, in terms of this year so far, obviously we're only, we're nearly 2 months in, actually. It's flying, isn't it? How's it been going at Pybridge? Has there been good demand? Because obviously one of the things you said in the RNS was that there was great performance from the renewable sources in the UK later last year. So has that switched around again, or what is the situation?
Yes, it has, Kevin. So what we saw last year towards the end of the year was unprecedented levels of generation, specifically from wind, and the renewable energy generation, specifically wind and solar, on natural edges to reserve power. Meaning that if wind and solar do not generate, then we step in and we generate. That's our part of the energy mix, and vice versa. And that way, National Grid ensures that there's constant generation and that the grid can be maintained. So what we saw at the end of last year is that there were record high levels of generation from wind specifically. We would all recall an infamous news article last year that the King has generated about £3 billion of revenue from his wind farms. And that was all part of that period last year. And we saw lower levels of generation from our plant because wind stepped up. But then again, looking back in August, it was the opposite. There was no renewable energy generation. That's why we had our record month in August, because we generated almost 24/7 during August. And that will always be the case. It will be an ebb and a flow. We have seen, to get back to your question, turnaround on that. So renewable generation has come down and our generation has stepped up. So we're seeing some good numbers this year thus far. And then just looking at 2022, which was our maiden year of generation on the plant since acquisition and since our optimization process, we are happy with the production. We managed to generate over 2,700 megawatt hours. of generation at an average price of £385 per megawatt hour. And I think the most important thing to highlight there is that we outperform the market with 88%. So the market only managed to generate and sell at an average price of £204 per megawatt hour during 2022, and we achieved £385 per megawatt hour. So we were able to outperform the market significantly, and that's part of our strategy. We employ a huge artificial intelligence and machine learning techniques and operating algorithm in conjunction with our route to market partner Statkraft, and that's what we want to do, and that's what we always aim to do, is to outperform the market.
Okay, so from the point of view of going forward then, in terms of how PyBridge looks, I mean, based again on the RNS, PyBridge has an initial valuation of 6.3 million, was it, for insurance purposes? So how much, now that you have these contracts in place, is PyBridge potentially worth? If you had to put it on the market tomorrow, how much do you think it would sell for?
Yes. So I think just taking a step back from that, Kevin, I mean, that's a very important point, is we acquired PyBridge for 2.1. At the end of the day, we had a settlement agreement with the seller, and we eventually ended up to acquire the site for an all-in cost of 2.1 million. And we compare that to the fair asset value of the site, which was recently independently confirmed at 6.3 million. You know, that shows that we are able to identify and acquire a site at significant discount in order to enhance value for our shareholders. If we put the start on the market today, I think it'll depend on many things, but I think a base case scenario is the fact that the site is worth at least 6.3 million, and we only paid 2.1 million for the site. So, I mean, there's almost a £4 million upside there.
And a disparity in the fact that your market cap's 3.5 million. So there's a big disconnect there between the fact you've got that as an asset.
Absolutely, Phil. That's a very good point. I think there is a very big disconnect between our market cap and, you know, the rest of our business. I think, you know, if we look at our net asset value at the moment, our last audited results showed that as 10 million. And that only included the 2.1 million that we paid for PyBridge. If we factor in the fair value of PyBridge, which is an additional 4 million, we're sitting with a net asset value for the business of 14 million. And our market cap is, at the moment around 3 million. So there's a significant disconnect there.
So there's a 10 million market cap difference between your net asset value and basically the market capitalization at the moment, being around the 4 million mark, and 14 million as a net asset value, which just is bizarre. But this market is bizarre at the minute, so let's be honest about it. Yeah. And I mean, I still will say that this is a utility type investment. Quite obviously, the government are, for periods such as you don't produce any electricity, they're paying these contracts out, obviously, to make sure that people, you know, continue to do it. You know, if you're receiving £300,000 on a £6 million asset, just for the sake of argument, you're receiving a 5% yield on your asset, even if you don't produce a single thing, which they want to make sure that people just don't leave this market, because this market is essential. If they don't have it, then the system won't work. So it's interesting, really. The government knows that they have to have this security. And going forward, I think these contracts, maybe I'm presuming, but I think these contracts are going to go even higher, because there isn't enough of them. There isn't enough of this capacity. And the government's going to need it, as they want more and more and more electricity going forward, especially if we're moving into an EV culture and trying to, you know, basically move everything into electricity. So, I mean, what's your thoughts on the longer term? Obviously, you've got Bordersley, you've got Rochdale, I think it is, and you've got two other sites as well, and I'm sure you're working on other stuff as well. So, I mean, what is the future looking like?
Yes, Kevin, that is, I think, very accurate. I think we already discussed earlier the fact that there's a big gap between the demand from the market and the supply from generators, and that is exactly the opportunity for MED. And that speaks directly to our strategic intent to build a portfolio of 300 megawatts as soon as possible. And I think we've taken a definitive step towards that. We're sitting with a portfolio of about 30 megawatts at the moment, which we're going to get on stream as quickly as possible. And we need to get to that 300 in due course in order to participate in the market and to utilize that big gap in demand that there is at the moment. So I think I think you're right. I think looking forward, the market will definitely stay buoyant. The demand is going to grow. I think your point about EV charging is also a very good example, especially with regard to the capacity market and reserve power where we operate. You know, typically people will charge their vehicles, you know, when they get home in the mornings, overnight, and that's typically when we generate. So I think the demand will keep growing. I think the supply will keep struggling, and that is the opportunity for MED.
Yeah. Absolutely. I think the potential moving forward is very good. And at this type of share price now, or at this type of valuation, yeah, it's certainly well overdone. And there's a massive discrepancy between asset values and the market capitalization. So let's hope that closes up in the meantime. And yeah. Are we going to be busy in the next few months? Do you think there's going to be lots of news coming out?
That is the plan, Kevin. We're working on many different things. I think apart from Pybridge, which we've discussed now, our next focus is Bordersea. And further to our most recent announcement in that regard, we are moving towards financial closure for Bordersea. It's already partly in construction. Everything is ready there for the grid and gas connection to be constructed and for the engines to be put on site and connected. So Bordersea is our next priority focus, and we expect to bring that online this year, followed shortly by Rochdale. And as you said, we also have two further sites which we've recently acquired, being Liberty Sather. So that's all in progress. We are developing those. And we're also actively assessing a portfolio of next sites at the moment, a total of about 70 megawatts. Many of them are in advanced due diligence and acquisition. So we hope to announce those as well going forward. So we've got a very exciting year ahead of us. And yes, I think lots of news will be forthcoming.
Very good. Peter Krugel, CEO of Mass Energy Developments. Thanks very much for your time.
Thank you, Phil. Thank you, Kevin.
This podcast was brought to you by Roast PR Limited. If you would like to appear on a future episode of The Sunday Roast, please email admin@thesundayroast.net.